Hey everybody, before we get into the autopsy, I have a job to do, and that is announce who's going on the wall of detectives for this arc. There were a lot of people putting in guesses for this mystery. It was really lovely to see all the emails, and a lot of people were really close and had really interesting ideas that I found really wonderful. But there can be only one person added to the wall of detectives, and the person going up on the wall of detectives for this mystery, a person who guessed after episode 4, a pretty much perfect solution with full confidence and a full understanding of everyone's motivations, with a couple of minor details. Not quite right, but that's fine. The detective of the arc is Josh Mullen. Congratulations, Josh. What a fantastic solve. Now, I would like to point out a few honorable mentions. We did have two other people who guessed very similarly to Josh after the fourth episode, with not quite as much accuracy and not quite as much confidence in their guess, but two very, very close contenders for the Wall of Detectives. And the first is Fiona Doran, who made a great guess very succinctly and clearly after part 4. And also Carla Bermudez, who, same vein, was incredibly close to being on the wall with a fantastic guess of a similar nature. I would also like to give an honourable mention to Martin Muller, not so much because of the accuracy of his guess, but because he did send a 5,000-word notes document of all of his observations and guesses and summaries and all of that, which was fantastic to read through, and also did pretty well with his guesses as well. So get out of here. Very much worthy of an honourable mention. But congratulations again to Josh Mullen. Fantastic guest. Welcome to the Wall of Detectives. All right, on with the rest of the autopsy. Welcome to Solve This Murder. I'm your coroner, Bill.
And I'm your codeine chief of medicine. That's words.
Yeah. Welcome to the autopsy for the actor's assassination.
I didn't even say my name.
That's Danny, by the way. Welcome to the, if you haven't listened to the actor's...
I am your codeine, comma, my name is chief of medicine.
Of course. If you haven't listened to the actor's assassination,
do
not listen.
You probably should. It would be weird if you didn't.
This is the breakdown and the discussion of what it was and how it was made and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, boy.
The biggest contender we had for this entire recording session was the heat of the room in which we were recording.
For some reason, descent into early evening made it about 10 degrees hotter.
I don't know how, but it got so hot in here. Look, you solved
it. Pausing to turn the loud fan on.
I found this was a really interesting structure of this. And it was a bit of a, like, it was pretty obvious that the lady with the rifle who shoots rifles is the one who shot the rifle at her husband. I think from the start, that's pretty good. And I would assume most people who have guessed for this arc have all guessed Aliska did it, obviously.
But then putting all the details together.
It was trying
exactly.
to... Basically, every single piece of information in this entire murder mystery all led up to he was at his ex's house a couple times. That was the entire... All the elements, all of the selling of the theatre, the blackmail, the previous crime, all this other stuff was literally just... He went to his ex's house a few times in a row. It's all you get from the entire mystery, which solves the motive for the woman who shot the person. Now, I hinted a little bit with Simba. You could have gone more into like the mechanics of her getting the rifle and owning the rifle and all that stuff. For you, just be like, biathlete done was enough, which was fine. because the mechanics you sort of got. Early on, you did. I was really impressed. Early on, you just went, whoever shot this has to have an intimate knowledge of the show to get the timing and the beat exactly right, so now I can limit my number of shooters down to anyone who had a thorough understanding of the show. And that was you got that immediately and very quickly, which was great. I was really impressed with that.
Thank you.
You got his ransom note, and you very quickly looked at it and went, let's look at the wording of this. It is, they'll slaughter, it could be like the media, which it kind of was in the end. Because it was about ruining someone's reputation, pretty much. And you sort of got all that pretty quickly. Here's a fun, subtle hint I would like to see
Please.
If you notice. I would never expect you to get this, but it's a piece of fun subtlety.
In the original ransom note?
In the original ransom notes. Have a look at the original ransom note.
Yep.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to show you one of the other ransom notes.
Uh-huh. All right, which colour letter should I be looking at?
None of them. Don't look at the letters at all.
Don't look at the letters at all?
I'm going to put these next to it. I'm going to get this one, then this one. This one, yeah. Then this one. This one, then this one.
What?
This one, then this one.
One's lined and one's not?
Those lines at the top and the bottom there
are from being in an envelope.
They're creases from having been in an envelope.
Goodness gracious.
The one that you found has no creases. Yeah. It was never placed in an envelope. It was yet to be sent rather than has been received.
Yeah.
Subtle
now,
little
look,
bit.
I certainly had the question open from the beginning, but didn't have any confirmation. You're right. Oh my God. I don't know if that was ever going to be my confirmation.
No, I had no intention no one would ever notice that, but it's a fun thing that if you check, it is true. You can tell that the first one you found was not sent because it was not creased. It had never been folded up to be put into an envelope, and the others had.
That's ridiculous. And one thing that you refused to let me do was check Chris's bank account.
Yes.
I wanted to see if any money had gone in or out that was in any way suspicious. That was how I wanted to
confirm
this.
It would not have been.
Apparently, it wouldn't have.
When you call... So there's an interesting thing with Andrew Feist, which is he clearly has the capacity to want to kill Chris Reffitt, if you thought he knew Chris Reffitt was blackmailing him.
Which he didn't.
And what I wanted after the original playtest was I needed something that gave you some kind of concrete evidence to point to he didn't do the killing.
Mm-mm.
Because as it was at the end, it was like, well, he had a motive. He could have done it. Maybe he got someone. Maybe he was working together.
Sure.
And the thing that I had settled on was he still tries to pay the ransom after Chris is dead.
Right.
Which is where he was when you called him and he was in the car. That was a bit on
reasonable.
The fly, like version of that.
I wanted to find some way to get confirmation of that, but I don't think I ever ended up really getting
anything. No, not really.
Anything.
My original hope was that you may have like gone to his house earlier and then I could have had him, he could leave afterwards. Or maybe if you searched around, you might find a bag pre-prepped with money.
How big would a $5 million bag have to
be? It's just a duffel bag. Just a duffel bag.
I don't know how much space $5 million takes up, though I have seen a couple of Mr. Beast videos. I think it's a lot.
There were other tricky little ways to find out. One of the notes that was from his accountants.
Oh my God.
If you had opened it, would have been like, what are you doing? You're moving money in a weird way. We need to talk. But in the end, you found out even more. The thing that you did that solved it, and I didn't need to do anything, was you just called him with Chris's phone. And he wasn't shocked to hear Chris. And,
yes.
And you said that. You said, okay, so he didn't kill Chris because he wasn't shocked that Chris was alive.
Yes. Yeah, and this ended up being the source of my biggest confusion because I knew that Eliska had the means, but Andrew had the motive. It was how I was seeing it at the time. And yet, Andrew can't have been the one responsible for getting him killed, even if it had been a working together situation, because he full-on wasn't aware of it.
Mm. Yeah, if you have talked to him, I have notes that he basically says, oh, yes, he can get to the point of saying, like, I asked Chris about it, and he swears that he got rid of it and all this other stuff, and he doesn't blame him and all that things. I found the phone an even better way to get that across with the text message. So for people who are playing along at home, the phone is not in the notes at all, other than
brutal.
The fact that there is a track my phone, a find my phone app. But I didn't really expect it to be there so early, and I sort of put it in the dressing room almost by accident, and I was ready to retcon it. I was ready to say, oh, sorry, you know what, he doesn't have his phone there, and have
I'm
you come in later.
Sure, if you listen back, you were the one who prompted me about checking the phone after I found the ransom note.
Yeah.
We ended an episode, we restarted, I read it again, and I went, ooh, I'm not sure where to go next, and you said, well, there was a phone and stuff in
well,
there.
Well, I realised at that point it might be helpful to get this stuff around out earlier, just for the pacing, and then you started to use the phone for a lot of things. And it kind of worked out really well.
We decided to start a whole game franchise built on murder mystery phones.
Yeah,
now.
I think it's a really cool idea. I really kind of liked that the phone was like your prevalent thing. You had the leftover affairs of a dead man in your hand. I at one point considered having if we needed like a Deus Ex Machina moment, I wanted to have an email come in to not his personal account, but like a sort of a obscure business account that pops up on his phone from the Sunderland twins saying, like, we need to finalize the money. I didn't want to, because I wanted you to talk to them and sort of kind of figure out that he was their backer.
That conversation was a real pain, because I understand you trying to get to me. No, they don't want to talk because of the same like confidentiality, but without saying it, based on the way I had brought up his name in the conversation, but I was not getting it.
You know, the other thing that was I was prepared for happen, I really wanted to happen.
Yeah.
I wanted you to give up. And when they left, they were going to call Chris's phone.
Oh, what? You should have told me that was okay.
Well, you know, you wanted
like
to get a thing.
I felt like I was giving up halfway through every track you gave me. It was the problem.
If you'd given up on that conversation.
I got the ransom note. I got nothing from it, so I put it in my pocket and left. I had a conversation with them. I felt like I was getting nothing, so I was despairing and ready to leave.
And if you'd left then, you would have had some rewards.
Jesus.
Anagnorisis, by the way, is a term in Greek theatre that refers to the moment of revelation, the aha moment of the plot, where suddenly everything clicks into place and you realise what's really going on.
What fun.
That's the anagnorisis theatre.
Wait, anagnorisis.
Anagnorisis.
So, like agnostic is not knowing, but it's the opposite of that. Yes. It's the not knowing.
It's the not knowing.
Gotcha.
Anagnorisis is the moment of realisation / revelation in Greek theatre. That's just a fun little bit for anybody playing along at home. There were other little things, like I made sure that I wanted to keep that cheating romance through line in a few places. Like that was the reasoning behind the initial murder that Andrew did.
They're just a vengeful little crew.
Now, you
what
could
was,
see.
So yeah,
you could
was
see
the
what was
murder
on
that.
The fact that you didn't want to look at that was just because you were just like, well, I found some evidence. I refuse to look at this evidence.
Because
I assume I know what's on there.
Again, there is a sort of balance when it comes to, it's not presenting to me as a detective, but I already know enough of the gist of what is going to be on there, that if we reveal that to our audience, there is nothing for me to say in my denouement. They get it all. I'm sure that most of them clicked along with it already anyway, but just when things are outright stated, they can't just be outright stated again in the denouement. You've got to find different ways of presenting this information. I didn't have a different way of presenting this information, so I didn't. I presented it once, not twice.
Well, you didn't present the specifics of it because you didn't watch it.
No, tell me.
No. You know, no, I don't need to present it twice,
you know
do
what?
I?
It's fair already, enough.
So what it is
it's just
you see
make me
an
sad.
It is. Oh, it's so sad. You see an altercation between Andrew and Charlie where he sees Charlie on the street. And he's sort of screaming at him, and he pulls a gun, and he points it at Charlie, and he says, "I want to see you cry."
Ah.
And then fires, and shoots and kills Charlie, and he is immediately shocked, claiming he didn't think that the gun was loaded.
Oof.
He drops the gun, and Andrew himself kind of breaks down, and then the recording ends.
Okay.
Again, being another callback
yep.
of his version of what's happening on stage at the theater. So he's not an evil person. He got angry, tried to intimidate a guy with a gun like an idiot, and then accidentally shot him not knowing the gun was loaded.
Mm.
A fool, but there you go.
I assume rich parents made it go away?
Yeah, exactly. Or they hid the body or something and he
Oof.
Went missing.
You did say he went missing.
Yeah, no one ever
you?
Found him again.
Ouch.
But yeah, so that was the thing, and that was on the USB, and that was sent. And that's why the first ransom note also used that language
yes.
specifically as a reference to the video.
Which is intriguing, because I assumed it was a reference to the existing video having him crying.
Yeah, well, it was not.
Mm.
But there's lots of fun little doubles ups and motifs in this mystery of jealousy, of accidental shootings, and things like that. I just tried to work a few of those in there.
That's fair.
I think perhaps this would have been, I don't know if it would have, no, I kind of don't. I was going to say it would have maybe benefited from more red herrings as to the method. But I kind of didn't mind that a lot of it was just like, okay, we know Eliska did it. It was obviously Eliska. She shot him with that rifle that she knows how to shoot.
Mm.
And that she was mysteriously there at the start being like, oh, nice rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly it was Eliska. And I think I would, again, as I said before, I would assume most people who didn't second guess themselves are like, okay, clearly it's Eliska, but why?
Yes.
And the why, all of the rest of the entire mystery was just the why. Which I don't mind. Would you
no,
prefer it if
absolutely.
It was less clear that she was the killer? If there was more obfuscation?
It can go either way. Both work as mysteries. I've said there are varying levels to these sorts of things. And look, I did say that possibly my favorite variation is person seems really obvious, too obvious, it can't possibly be them, and then it loops back around to it was.
Well, obviously, yeah, exactly. And this wasn't even so much that. It wasn't
I don't
like,
know if we got the loop around part necessarily.
No,
it was
this was pretty much the whole way through, just like,
there
she
was
did
no
it.
Exoneration.
Like, she obviously shot this guy. Mm. Why would she do it?
Yes.
And finding that out.
Because that did put me on a block for a very long time.
And I kind of like that structurally. In the end, it worked out really well in that form, I think. People at home, maybe that you don't like that sort of structure. You know, this was a why. People talk a lot about whodunits and how catchems. They don't often talk about the specific why done it, where you know exactly who it was. And maybe.
And you need a good why done
and
it.
We maybe people at home didn't think that she did. Maybe they found other ways it could have been done or other reasons.
Yeah.
You know, and that maybe she was too obvious and you thought, okay, there's a lot of reasons she. Maybe none of you knew what biathlon was because it took a while for Danny just said, biathlon, say no more, and then said no more. So for people who aren't aware, biathlon is a sport that involves cross-country skiing and rifle shooting. If you didn't look it up yourself, because I don't think it ever actually got mentioned
this
on the show.
True.
But no, you made some very... I was also really impressed
with... Were you worried for a second that I missed your mention of biathlon because I did not mention it right away?
No, well, a little bit.
I was wondering, because I am trying... very hard to say my thoughts out loud as we go a bit more, but sometimes there's value in a theatrical wait.
Maybe. The Paris stuff was not specifically relevant, their trip to Paris, other than I threw it in, that's unplanned. That went in as additional evidence that would be on the phone to imply that they do currently have a happy marriage.
Yes, that they were okay at that point.
And I think it worked well for that.
Yep, absolutely.
Him having Flappy Bird on his phone, that was very important. You didn't note that down. It shows that...
he actually only needed $4.789
exactly,
million. Dollars.
Exactly, because he could have sold the phone. I should have made the price of the theatre $5 million plus whatever the cost of a Flappy Bird phone is and worked that in. But yeah, I found it interesting that it kind of worked out to be the phone mystery when that wasn't planned from the beginning.
Yeah, that's very true. So what were some of the things in your notes that I didn't end up passing through? Like, for instance, I don't know, Betsy, as far as using her, I got a little bit of the vague information that there was a scandal at some point. That's basically all the info I got out of her.
To be honest, Betsy didn't have a huge amount more. Okay. She could have talked more about Aliska and the relationship, but it wasn't ever really necessary, and so it would have just been going back over old ground. So most of what she had to say was about revealing the details of this past thing.
I really thought the ushers were going to be more relevant.
I don't have any ushers written in this story. There's not a single one
not
listed.
Not even Jerry?
I've got an entry for Penny Feist. I don't have an entry for an usher. So there was a thing that I cut from the episode, which wasn't necessarily, which was that Penny does live with Andrew and is currently away on a trip.
Right.
And that was just to hit home that Aliska is definitely wrong in there being an affair.
Oh, okay.
And mostly that's kind of there for if you had gone the other way round. Like if you had gone, okay, maybe there was an affair, he was going to house. Oh, so he must have been going to the house to see Penny all the time. And then you would find out, oh, Penny's not there.
So
he wasn't going to the house to see Penny. Why was he going to the house if you hadn't already uncovered blackmail stuff?
And to be honest, that was sort of where I was headed the first time I went to the house. Andrew wasn't there, but I went to the house, knocked on the door. I was expecting that if Penny lived there, she would be home.
I toyed with the idea of having someone else be there, like a neighborhood kid to look after his dog or something who might let you in. But I didn't in the end because I figured that wouldn't make... No one who's driven off to pay a $5 million ransom is going to organize a neighborhood child to watch their dog.
My big thing that was a wrong track that, look, it's no secret, you wanted to get me into the Feist house to find something that was going on.
This is the biggest point of contention is just being like, I would like you to go to the Feist house because you need to see that Penny lives there and you need to see that he was getting ransom notes.
Yeah, the ransom notes I didn't even need. Knowing that Penny lived there, that was good.
That was the biggest thing that I needed.
Essential information.
Yes, that was,
I was never essential. Sure about that.
Yeah. I tried to hint it with the text to make sure she's not there. Penny was the she in that case. And I will say, you looked at that and you said, well, she could be any person at all. It could be a weird painting. It could be anything. She means nothing. But you never even looked. You were just like, but I know what's in that USB, so I'm not even going to check what's on it.
Here's the thing. I was going on a completely different track at that moment. And what I was trying to get information-wise out of sending her to that house was the only other reason outside of my first thought when I saw that Find My Phone-ish app was she's trying to keep tabs in case he's going to an old affair partner's house. The only other reason that that could have been there was if she has been going there and wants to not get caught.
That's fun. She was having the affair.
This is all that I was trying to establish.
That's very interesting. Yeah, and that was not true. This is the thing that happens sometimes with these that's hard, which is when you have a thought and you set up a plan to, and I do this as well, but you set up a plan to like catch this piece of truth, but the person running it doesn't know what truth you're trying to catch, and so
it
doesn't put it there.
It wouldn't work if I pre-explained
exactly.
It to you.
So you're like, I'm trying to get evidence of the affair, and I'm like, well, I'm not even thinking about that because I know that she's not having an affair with Andrew Feist. I'm like, great, you know. I don't know what Danny's plan is, but let's see what happens.
This was our biggest point of needing to stop and make cuts and edit around horrible silences.
Mm.
And I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And now that you've said that, okay, now it makes sense. Because you were waiting for the revelation for a thing that you had suspected.
I was trying to establish her familiarity with the Feist household.
Yeah, and she doesn't really have much.
No. So I ended up on a weird level. And that's why it was make sure she's not there. It was... Does he have a wife I haven't been told about as well?
Now I see why you're misinterpreting it. Yeah. Whereas I was like, she's probably the only female character you have that's been mentioned but not seen so far.
Hey,
surely.
You mentioned Shebless, his mother.
Oh, I did mention his mother, Shebless. I'm so sorry. Good work remembering her name. I think you got that one spot on. Yeah, look, it was an interesting one. And it's been a while. This took a long time not to make. I made it ages ago and then just... We had so much other stuff on that it kept
and
getting kicked
I know
back
that
and
these take
back.
Me hours upon hours to get through because I get flustered, I get stuck. I'm really not very good at this. And so, yeah, trying to find a good block of time over a couple of days that I could sit down and make this happen, it's tough.
Mm.
I'm sure it was tough for you to remember everything after having written it so long ago.
That was tough. And so I made sure to go back through it and double check and all this. The notes... For anyone wondering, are in the show notes of this autopsy. You should be able to find them. They're not as thorough. There'll be stuff from this that's missing.
I'm sure it has gone completely haywire.
Like, there's no write-up for those ushers. There's no write-up for what's on the phone. You'll just have to figure that stuff out. These are tough. You'll see my notes. You'll see what I was working
on. Did you
from.
Feel comfortable with making the ushers so bad at their jobs?
Yeah.
Really?
No, hold on. I don't think they were that bad at their jobs. The ushers shouldn't wait there the whole time.
Ushers always wait
They go to the front
the
of house.
Time. No.
You don't need to be there. Then to let you.
That's outrageous.
The show started. You have a ticket. You're in the building. You can just go back to your seat.
No, they come and they light you into your seat back to the theater, so you don't trip.
Not at the Anagnorisis.
That's because they're bad at their job at the Anagnorisis.
No, they're great. They're a great set of ushers.
Ridiculous. The biggest thing for me as a story point, which is perfectly fair as a story point, but was absolutely by the end the thing that had me blanking was. I knew that Eliska had the means. I knew that Andrew Feist had motive. And the idea of misunderstanding being significant. As
yes.
opposed to full comprehension and therefore strong motive.
Yes,
in
having
that way.
Trying to know not what a character did, but what a character assumed.
Yes.
And work based on character assumptions and trying to figure out not just the information you have, but what was all the information available to that character?
And it's good, but tricky.
It is tricky. I found that was the hardest part of this mystery. Like I said, the whole thing was literally just to find out, oh, she didn't know anything about anything except for the fact that he'd been going to Penny's house.
Mm.
It was all came down to that. The entire mystery was built around character assumption.
Yep.
Which worked out really well.
It did. I like it. I like the way that was presented and that... Unaddressed envelopes was the key to that. I thought that was nice.
Yes, it was all about the fact that it was... Yeah, the biggest key fact that you needed to know was he received envelopes multiple times, none of which have stamps on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the fact that they don't have stamps that was like the key. And that to me is such a... Like a classic Poirot-y sort of moment of like...
Mm.
It all came down to those stamps. Remember 100 pages ago when we described them not having stamps? That's the key point. You know, like... It's that one little thing that colours all the rest of the facts.
You're missing one thing, Hastings. The fold on a piece of paper.
Well, If you'd been a real Poirot, you would have noticed the fold on the piece of paper. You spent so long.
Well, no, it's the fact that the first time there is no fold in the piece of paper. If I had found them the other way around,
and here's
perhaps
the thing.
I would have noticed.
The first time.
But there is no way.
First time there was no fold, and you were comfortable reading the whole thing and looking and looking and looking and looking. When the second one came and it said, I want to see you cry, you went, that's just sad, close it. I don't want to look at that anymore. And you immediately got rid of it. And you didn't look at it for a second. You read it once and you're like, get out of here. I do not want to look at you. And that was probably your fatal flaw, not noticing the creases. If anybody at home noticed the creases, because I will have linked these. Yeah, that's it. Anyone who noticed the creases, even if you got everything else wrong, you win.
The problem is, I think that I only discover those last ransom notes in the final episode. So
that is true. You didn't want to keep looking. You could have found him earlier. You could have done your own breaking into the office.
That's absurd.
You definitely did not want to search that office for a very long time.
There was, like, without knowing that you wanted me to find stuff in the Feist house, I don't think I was ever going to visit the Feist house. I didn't want to even go there in the first place. I didn't think I was going to get anything out of that.
Yeah, and this is really interesting to me because, like, in my eyes, it was, there is a guy called Andrew Feist who, you know, his sister is the one who was part of the affair. You know he lives just down the street. You know that the victim's phone is set up explicitly to go off when he goes to the Feist house. And you know that, like, he may have committed an evil, terrible murder crime that he's currently being blackmailed for. The fact that none of that made you want to, like, check out his house was crazy to me. I was like, that seems like, obviously you go there. Obviously that's the next step of the...
Many of these things are just facts. That you won't find a piece of physical evidence in the house to help corroborate or give new information for.
I think the difference is...
And the only information would have been something I could have looked up on someone's gas website, I guess.
Or the notes and things like...
Look, that was some good evidence there, grant you.
The thing that was interesting was, like, I would, when I'm investigating, I'd go, like, well, I'm going to investigate to see what's there. And it always looks like you went, let me think of what could be there. None of that stuff will be relevant, so I won't search because either that stuff is there and I don't need to know that anymore, or it's not there and they could. Like, you didn't sort of. You should have pre-assumed what would be there or wouldn't and then just went, well, that has no value.
9 times out of 10, that's what Poirot and Marple do. They don't get off their asses once.
Well, you're not Marple, are you?
That hurts.
You should have assumed that Marple would have known that Penny was living there. Just like how back in her home, small village. Some other guy used to live with his sister.
Yeah, I used to not like the Marples when I was younger. I got annoyed that she would do exactly that and just say, oh, this reminds me of Benson down at the village. It bugged me, but she's really likable now.
Good. Look, in the end, it's funny. You said earlier that, like, oh, no, you're not very good at this. The thing that you are not comfortable with is not to do with the murder mystery. You're great at solving the murder mystery and finding everything out, and you seem to know it all really quickly. And then you stress yourself out on, like, on the presentation, on the
I had 5 different moments of, I would like to go and check this thing out or ask this person a question, got stonewalled and went, well, I didn't have a next step for this. I was hoping that this would give me a new thing to follow, and it didn't. And then I didn't know what to do. And that I felt like maybe it didn't happen as many times as I thought, but it felt like it happened several times. And it felt like I was just being beaten back at every turn and that I wasn't being smart enough in my decisions.
There is this thing that, and it happens to me as well, where, like, you come into these and you go, I know what I'm going to ask this person. And you know what you're going to ask. You ask and they go, well, I don't know anything about that. And you just think, well, damn, I guess that wasn't the thing to ask this person.
Like, we did the first couple of episodes yesterday, getting up to where I found the ransom note in the dressing room, and then we took a break and came back today. And so overnight, I was trying to think of things that I would do, and I wanted to figure out the Usher situation. That ended up being useless. There were no ushers anywhere nearby. That didn't go anywhere. I thought someone might have disguised themselves as an usher to get close or anything like that. Didn't end up being anything. So I decided, okay, well, the ransom note itself was very peculiar. I'm pretty sure it just mentioned a they. Is there any chance this was bizarrely a helpful ransom note? So I went back to it today and went, oh, nope, that's not it.
Though that was interesting because you looked at the ransom note, you didn't get what you wanted out of it. But to me, I was like, oh, look at that. What an amazing thing that you look back at the ransom note and you realize that it... could not, like the wording of it implied that it maybe wasn't from him or wasn't about killing. It's like a metaphorical slaughter, and they could probably be like the media. And,
I think that when you go back to...
I was like, that's great.
When you go back to edit these episodes, when you hear the end of episode 2, when I find it, you will hear in my tone how odd a ransom note I think it is.
Mm. But I think when you went back and looked at it, I think you got a lot out of that. But you didn't get the thing that you wanted out of that.
No.
And therefore you're like, well,
it was nothing.
It's nothing. But it's like, you got stuff, just not the thing you wanted. It's always the hardest thing with these. When you make an assumption, then you check the assumption and it wasn't the correct assumption,
yep.
Gets me every time. I'm just like, when I ask him about this, he'll say it was his twin, won't he? And then I ask him, he says, well, that was a cow. And I'm like, what? A cow? I thought it was a twin man. What's happening?
At least why was there a cow is a new question.
I mean, look, overall, look, yeah. You did really well solving the mystery.
It's a good mystery.
And I hope everyone else at home enjoyed it. Speaking of Detective of the Ark, I'm assuming we probably have slotted that in at the start of this episode.
I don't know how you do that.
I think I just do that.
Okay.
I go back and add them in for people who've been putting things in throughout the week.
Right. Well, congratulations.
So congratulations. Welcome to the Wall of Detectives. What's our next step? Is there going to be another one of these? Or do you have an Agatha Christie coming up? Do you want to stop and do a couple bonus episodes of Madhouse?
Yeah, we have this book. It is called Madhouse, Midnight Mayhem at the Rockley Mansion, a wacky, solve-it-yourself detective adventure, a house full of secrets, clues by the roomful, who did it? And well, who did it has hyphens between
all
the
right,
words.
Well, okay, we're going to take a
this
couple bonus episodes.
This is just a book from my childhood. I do not remember it, even slightly. It comes with a full map, a Where's Wally-like house of things happening everywhere, and pages where apparently it zooms in on different rooms and different clues that you can find. It seems, like, as far
yeah,
as I know,
do this.
It's just a big old murder mystery in a kid's book that apparently I've read before. But I have no memory of it, and I think it feels like it'll be fun to talk through.
All right, we'll do a quick bonus episode of that. Maybe we'll just do as many episodes as it takes to solve it, probably just one. And then do you think there'll be another Poirot before there's another...
From the year 2000.
Danny. Do you think there'll be another Poirot before there's another...
I can definitely do another Poirot.
Well, there'll probably be... Yeah, it'll be a bonus episode of Madhouse, then another Poirot, and then hopefully another Ridge Midge.
Yeah, that.
What do we want to name? Pick a letter and I'll build it around the letter. Z.
Why? I was gonna say B, but okay.
The case of the zoo zebra. Damn it, that's not interesting at all. Thank you everybody for listening. And go and check out whatever else you want to check out in your life. Alright, bye everybody.
Thank you.
Solve This Murder is created by Bill Sunderland and Danny Siller as part of the Consume This Media Network. To find out more about all of our shows, you can head to consumethismedia.com. A special thank you to Jared, Devon and Witt from the podcast Advanced Sagebrush and Shootouts for creating our theme music. And thanks to all of you for listening.